And welcome to the Boxing Day edition of A Juno Afternoon. How's it going, everyone? I'm Andy Klein with you, your host for today. And we've got a fun show today with folks here from Wearable Art, including myself, I guess, because I'm a big part of it this year. Donna Powell, Laura Maiko, and Kari Groovin are all here to talk to us about all the different stuff that's going on with Wearable Art, the call for entries that's happening. We're going to be talking to Lana Deering all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, about the KXL New Year's Eve dance party that's happening at the Wharf, the block party at the Wharf. Also, Bob Kasperson's going to be here to talk about the Capital City Basketball Classic that's coming up. And the Eagle Crest Report with Jeffra Clow. We'll actually be calling Jeffra. She's up on the mountain, and we'll be calling her. They're busy right now. They're open every single day during the Christmas break, and they're busy up there. Sunny was the, and still is, I guess there's still a little sun out there, is the forecast for today, as you all experienced, with the highs around 26 degrees, light winds, and tonight, increasing clouds, slight chance of snow late with lows around 17 degrees, and even colder in wind-sheltered areas in the valley in the evening with colder temperatures predicted as well. Snow for tomorrow. Snow accumulation 2 to 3 inches with highs around 32 degrees and snow mixing with rain south of Juneau, especially late. Lows 28 to 34 degrees. South of Juneau. What is that? Thane, I guess. I don't know. South of Juneau. We want the Juneau forecast here. Rain and snow becoming all rain in the afternoon and highs around 36 degrees is the forecast for Friday. That's what's coming up on a Juneau afternoon. First, here's a National Native News.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission is going to court to force the Canadian government to turn over federal documents on the history of residential schools. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the commission has accused Ottawa of blocking requests for documents, which are vital to its mandate.
That mandate is the delivery of truth, reconciliation, and ultimately healing. The case also comes after years of frustration over access to government records. The commission is concerned that the government's tardiness in providing the documents will make it impossible to complete its work within budget and by the middle of 2014. The commission's chairman, Murray Sinclair, says under the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement, the TRC is to collect all documents so they can be made available to all Canadians. And Sinclair says he is reluctantly pursuing court action because he has been left with no alternative. Aboriginal Affairs Minister John Duncan says documents have been sent and the government is committed to bringing closure to the legacy of residential schools.
My department is working with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and 22 other departments to ensure that all relevant documents are made available. And to date, almost 1 million have been disclosed, and it's our aim to have the remaining disclosed in 2013.
The residential school system, paid for by the government and run by churches, operated from the 1870s to the late 1900s. About 150,000 Native children were taken from their parents and forced to attend the schools under a policy of trying to assimilate them into white culture. During that period, thousands of them were physically, sexually, or emotionally abused. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A Native organization is welcoming U.S. Washington Senator Maria Cantwell to serve as chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. The Native American Financial Services Association says she's the right choice to follow the strong leadership of Hawaii Senator Daniel Akaka, who's retiring. According to the organization, Cantwell's involvement with the Native community is long-standing since her election to the Senate in 2000. When committee assignments were announced earlier this month, Cantwell said she's proud of her work with Washington tribes on issues like education, health care, and environmental issues, including salmon restoration. And she said she'll be proud to serve as the first female chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, which Cantwell is poised to take in January. New Microsoft PCs were probably under some Christmas trees this holiday season. As KGOU's Kurt Gwartney reports, those machines now include a part of Cherokee culture.
Booting up a personal computer running the Windows 8 Microsoft operating system can present a variety of language options. and now one of those is Cherokee. The tribe's written language, called the syllabary, is already a part of Apple computer products and Google applications, including Gmail. Microsoft says it's talking with other tribes about including their languages, but so far Cherokee is the only Native American option for the text on the computer screens. The Microsoft official told the Tulsa World newspaper, the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma has one of the most mature IT organizations in Indian country. The tribe has a team of people dedicated to moving its written language created in the 1800s into the 21st century. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
On this day in 1862, 38 Santee Sioux men were hanged in Mankato, Minnesota. President Abraham Lincoln ordered the mass execution. Lincoln also pardoned other Dakotas sentenced to hang in the wake of the Dakota Uprising. This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Kiwanis is accepting artwork for the 2013 Alaska Native Art Auction scheduled March 7, 2013. Proceeds benefit KNBA and Native Public Radio programming. Call 907-793-3528 for more information. Support for National Native News comes from Donlin Gold, working to develop responsible mining in Alaska's Yukon-Kuskokwim region. Donlin Gold wishes everyone a safe and healthy holiday season. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Flight of the Conchords, and they're talking about fashion there, and fashion is dangerous is what they say, and Donna Powell, you know that for a fact.
I do.
As one of the people here from Wearable Arts. We've got Donna Powell with us right now, Laura Maiko, and also Kari Gruven with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, all to talk about the Wearable Arts. So, Kari, let's start with you. We'll get to the danger of fashion in a minute, Donna, but Kari, let us know a little bit about what's happening as far as deadlines and things like that that's going on with Wearable Arts right now.
So that is Juno Arts and Humanities Council, we're calling for artists to register for the 2013 Wearable Arts Show, which will happen at the Centennial Hall on February 9th and 10th. It's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year. The Saturday show raises funds for fine arts scholarships for youth and individual artist grants, and the Sunday show raises funds for the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And the application deadline is January 7th, so it's coming up very soon at 5 p.m.
It's a couple of weeks there, yeah, right.
And it's an online application form, and you can find it on our website at jahc.org. And I just want to say right away that if somebody doesn't have access to computers or something like that, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to apply. We will help you in one way or another.
Just come on into the Jack. Just walk into the Jack, and the friendly folks there will help you apply. If you have an artistic notion about fashion and about wearable art and that sort of thing, but let's turn to you guys as artists here and some of the best known artists actually from wearable art. Donna and Laura, both of you done fantastic work. Maybe Laura, I'll ask you first. Now, you were up in Anchorage and originally, and were kind of doing stuff in not originally, but while you were doing stuff in the Juno.
Yeah, I moved up to Anchorage for a year and then kept the commitment going for Juno because I've actually been in several different wearable art shows now, one in Valdez, some in Anchorage. I feel like there was another one, but Juno is just far and above anything I've seen. It's a real performance. It's a show. It's a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
It's kind of a great party, actually.
It's awesome.
And I'm hosting, as I have for the past couple of years. I'm also getting to direct this year as well. That's an exciting thing. But even as a host, it's a good party.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you know you got a good party going. The host is having fun.
Exactly. And everybody looks so forward to it, too,
yeah,
which is great. But
so what are some of the challenges of so this stage, your guys right now, I heard a little conversation here before. Jared, what are you doing? I don't know. Are you ahead? Are you behind? What's going on? So you've already been planning a little bit. What? Tell me a little bit about your planning process and how you work into meeting the deadlines.
Oh, my goodness. It's one of those things where you just kind of get an idea in your head. And the first thing I look at is the material. What material am I using? And for those of you that came last year, I was the one that fell on the stage, hence the hazard of wearing something very heavy and 6 foot or 6 inch platform shoes. You know, it was just ridiculous. So this year I'm going very light. So I have my material and I have an idea what I can do with it. So then I've gone through and researched through books and magazines about historical dresses and how they made them and stuff. So I'm kind of putting piece by piece together and not anywhere near even being halfway ready to go.
The shoes are always an issue.
Oh, my gosh.
As the director this year, I'm going to put some sort of people are going to have to convince me they can walk in the shoes they want to wear.
Yeah. Who would have ever thought?
It's a big part of the outfit, though. I mean, every woman knows that the shoes are a big deal.
I understand.
You got to have the shoes.
You got to have the shoes.
To mention one thing, though, that we're talking about women, but this we're calling for men and women and kids and adults to participate in this show. We've had some fantastic male participants in
the
previous
years. Oh, my gosh, the Black Swan last year.
Oh, that was also
that
funny.
That was hilarious.
Black Swan, the tank was great.
Yeah,
we've had great. That's totally true. We've had great participants from both male and female and kids, as you say, too. And that's become a really interesting growing thing.
We've had some actually really surprisingly amazing kids' outfits over the years. And
the one last year that we just wheeled out as a big egg, and then the girl came out as the egg.
Yeah,
and
all, right?
It was really exciting. That one was really cool, yeah. That was also one of the ones with the heel deal. Remember the shoes that she had on? They were
she had the Lady Gaga shoes on.
Yes, she had the Lady Gaga shoes going. Yeah.
I didn't even know.
It was pretty amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what are some of the things that you think about, Laura, when you're kind of in this stage right now of thinking through how you're going to do an outfit?
Really how to manipulate whatever material you have. I know both Donna and I kind of try to make our material not look like our material.
Exactly.
And we're both we go really fashion with it, and we both do time period pieces a lot. So this time I have a very a well-known form, and people like what I do and I like what I do, but this year I'm trying to branch out and kind of do a different form. So that's going to be my challenge this year, to do something a little bit, make my brain think a little differently.
And it's interesting, like last year you used all corks, Donna, and that was an interesting thing because one individual cork, you think, oh, it's light as a cork, and then you put 2,000 of them together.
Yeah, 7,000.
7,000 of them together.
Yes.
Every reason you got an issue.
Yes. I was carrying a small person on my back.
But that you kind of had that was your base element, that cork. And one of the dresses I remember so distinctly of yours was the one that was a couple years ago with
the
paint chips.
Mm-hmm. And that was heavy.
So heavy, but beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm outed by Home Depot now. I'm sure they
don't let you near the store. They've been out of paint chips.
Here she comes again.
But is that sort of the key for both of you to kind of find that base element, that thing that you're going to then build the whole costume out of? Is that right?
It is.
I don't know about you, but I have people coming up to me and saying like, oh, I have a big box of this. Could you use it for something?
Exactly.
And, you know, of course I want to say no, but I have to say yes.
I know. Every year there's like a group of people that, what are you collecting? You know, and I get stuff, and I'm sure you do too, from all over the world. I have friends in Holland that collect stuff, and, you know, friends in Hawaii and Florida.
Cool.
And they're like, we'll save it. We'll tell people. They think you're crazy, but what are you doing?
And the theme this year is called organics. And the idea behind that is organic plus mechanics, which is both the idea of organic material, but also building block type material. So even something like cement could be considered an organic building block material, or any one particular item. I think cork would be perfect organic type material.
Yes.
Even paint chips or something. I mean, you can see, you know, building off the thing. So is that how have you been able to, or how have you been thinking about incorporating that theme into your costume this year?
Someone along the lines said something while we were discussing the theme and suggested steampunk.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, okay, I could do a little bit of steampunk and a little bit of, you know, my traditional gowns and whatnot. So I'm struggling with that, how to make it all work and not make it too, you know, science techy kind of strangeness.
There's something about that steampunk thing, which is like the base kind of organic elements of what mm-hmm. then technology would become.
Right.
So that idea of what is the future going to look like through like Victorian eyes or right. through the eyes of someone in the late 1800s.
Yes, Marie yeah. Antoinette. Here
yes.
she comes.
Right. So and I think some of the, just as a preview, maybe the MC costumes might have that sort of a theme going on a little bit too. Yeah,
very
so
nice.
That would be very cool.
I think the best part about the theme is actually how they decorate Centennial Hall. I don't really go with the theme because I think about it in advance and I kind of just do my thing. But they always decorate Centennial Hall amazingly with whatever theme they do. And it's so fun. Like, I know all the artists go in and we have our stuff in our bags and our Tupperware is full of stuff. And then we all sneak into the big ballroom and we're like, oh, what are they doing in here? So
yeah. And that's we're in the process of figuring that out right now. And Bauer Clifton Interiors are incredible with the concept of that, and then all the people, Bing and Sean Boyle and all the other people that get together and help with that, Rick Pruitt as well, and Kari, of course. We get together and do those things. This year, yeah, it's going to be really – we're really excited about what's going to happen. And again, those base elements, those building block elements is the idea behind what the set will look like. So that's going to be exciting. Really transforming Centennial Hall is a big, fun part of this.
And that regarding the theme, it's kind of meant as a starting point for inspiration or a helping point for inspiration. And the designer team, Bauer Clifton, that you just mentioned that are amazing and helped us out for the last few years, they do their set design based on that theme of the year. And then artists are encouraged to do their work based on the theme, but they don't have to. So if you see the word organics and it's not happening for you, but you have another idea that would be really cool, we welcome you.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Have you.
Any and all artists are welcome. And if you have an idea and you are inspired to create any outfit, yeah, it'd be great to have anyone involved. So tell folks once again how to do that.
So the application is online on the Juno Arts and Humanities Council website. You could just Google Juno Arts Council if you don't remember anything else. And the deadline is January 7th at 5 p.m. And you can always call us for questions, 586-ARTS, A-R-T-S, if you have any questions, yes.
Awesome. All right. So, Kari, thanks so much. Laura, and Donna as well. Thanks to all of you so much for doing it. Good luck with the outfits.
Yeah.
I know you don't need it. You guys are seasoned professionals at this, and it'll be amazing no matter what. And for more information, jahc.org is the place to go.
And get the tickets early because they sell out
every time. We should talk tickets real quick because tickets are selling.
Yeah, tickets are available to members only, but you can become a member and get tickets. And then they go online to non-members on January 14th. But just know that the Saturday show is already more than half sold out.
Yep.
And the Sunday show is coming along pretty fast, too. So,
and the actual show is February 9th and 10th, just so people can plan around that as well.
It tends to sell out at least a week beforehand for both shows, so just don't wait too long.
Don't wait. All right. Thanks, all you. We're coming up next with an interview with Lana Deering of Deering and Down about the New Year's Eve dance coming up.
Ain't no reason for you to decline.
Oh, well, there they are, the great Deering and Downs. And guess what? They're also on the line with me right now. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you all the way. You're all the way down in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis town. We're having a ball. It snowed here last night, and we're getting ready for Alaska.
Yeah, we're excited to have you come up. And, yeah, it's snow in Memphis.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
What's going on? That's unusual, right?
I mean, kind of. I guess it's a little unusual, but I thought it was kind of special because it was on Christmas.
You know, there you go. Well, that's
that happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how the reindeer operate.
That's right.
Yeah, they're not going to get around if there's not enough snow on the ground. Well,
yeah, the sleigh is harder to drag through the gravel.
That's right. It's hard through that mud, through that red clay of the South. Well, hey,
right.
hey, you guys, tell me a little bit about what's been going on with you. We're coming up here on the New Year's Eve party, and of course, you guys are going to be playing the ballroom. That's exciting. But what's been going on while you've been down in Memphis? I know you guys have been traveling around a little bit, doing some gigs. Give me a little recap of what's been happening this year.
Totally. Thank you. Yeah, we've just been playing lots of gigs, and Rev has some exciting news. He's been in the studio recording, laying down a few songs, and I've been, you know, tagging along and singing some backups, and just that's kind of exciting. That feels really good. That was kind of unexpected and just happened over Christmas, like, you know, the holiday. So it's kind of a early present for us. And I should let Rev to say a little bit more about it, but He's doing good, you know.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And also just people who've are friends of Rev's, also doing good on the health side, right? Got a little bit of help on the hip.
You got that right. That's here. I'm gonna let him say a few words. He's on speaker. He just I'm gonna uncut the duct tape on his mouth here.
Good. Actually, what she's gonna do is put a comma in there.
How you doing, Rev?
I'm doing great, man. Nice to hear your voice. How's the world treating you?
Good, real good up here. It's a little bit cold up here right now. It's kind of in a deep. We're in a little bit of a deep freeze, but clear, beautiful days. We had a beautiful day for Christmas.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful. So tell me a little bit more about these recording sessions, Lana was just saying.
Well, you know what happened to. You know, be jamming with a very well-known, pardon? Top secret, yeah, probably a top secret. Just a really, you know, a gentleman who's worked with all kinds of people, and he's a fine musician as well as a producer, and he's out there. In a really great way, and so we've been collaborating at his studio, and I'm very excited about it. And Lana's been playing down a role. She's been singing and contributing with playing some guitar too. You know, so it's and you know, I don't want to jinx it, but we're really stoked about it. I mean, Lana's been giving us two thumbs up.
Very good.
Yeah, but we're really excited about it.
All right, awesome. And so you guys coming up here now, tell me a little bit about is some of the new music you've been working on getting incorporated into your live sets?
Yeah, we've been working on some new stuff, and some stuff we're hoping to record before we actually, subject people to it, because we don't want them to get sick of it in advance, but we're going to, you know, hopefully throw a curveball or two out there.
Very good.
Yeah, and Lana's been in touch with
Walker Janelle.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to have a drummer.
Yeah, I think we're going to be playing with Walker. I hear he's in town, and I haven't really talked to him yet, but we've been, you know, Facebooking it.
In that secret code way that musicians talk back and forth, and you say a lot of hep cat kind of stuff, and that just means you're going to gig together. Is that how that works?
That works. It's like an episode of Portlandia.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of imagining. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, a few eyebrow lifts. And
yeah, right. And then before you know it, you got a gig. Yeah.
Got a gig.
Good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, that's exciting. I mean, Walker's an incredibly talented drummer for those who haven't seen him here. And he's done drumming with different bands. And he's actually out as a professional drummer doing different gigs out there and traveling around the lower 48 doing that stuff. But yeah, coming back for the holidays, and that's really cool that he's going to set up. We've had rumor that we might have a warm-up band for you. First in Gold might warm up for you. We have to find out about that and kind of nail it down. But then, of course, in the other room, File Jerks are playing over in the other room in the hangar bar area, and going to be lighting it up over there.
Man, I can't wait. This just sounds like we missed the last year New Year party, and you know, just been hearing rave reviews and you know stories, famous stories about it, and just you know really thrilled to be able to be included this year. And thank you, and the hangar, and our friends and family of Juneau. It's awesome.
All right. Well, we can't wait to see you up here. It's going to be exciting to have you up here. Of course, because it's a KXL event, we've got you in the best digs in town. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
Well, if anybody wants to get together with Andy Klein or myself, we're going to be setting up our above-ground compound at the Arctic Bar, right, Andy?
That's right. Absolutely. You know we'll be there. Yes.
Hey, let me – you know what? I know you're always so cool about indulging me, man. We're going to request the Red Bone tune tonight.
Redbone? You want some Redbone?
Oh, man.
What you want? You want Witch Queen in New Orleans, or what do you want?
That'd be awesome.
All right. We'll get some Witch Queen in New Orleans going for you. Absolutely. All right, you guys. That's Deering and Down. They're going to be up here for New Year's, for the exclusive New Year's block party happening on the wharf. We block off the entire wharf. It's just $5 to get in, and that gets you, and that all that goes to KXLO, which is a great one of our three public radio stations here. And then you get to hear Deering and Down, File Jerks, and complimentary champagne. This is a 21 and over event, of course, but it's going to be a fun time, you guys.
Oh my goodness! Better
oh yeah,
have champagne bottles.
Oh, and we got a balloon drop that you're not going to believe.
No way!
Oh yeah, Night Moods, Balloons by Night Moods is setting us up with thousands of balloons. It's going to be incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you. It's going to be like
everyone's going to get their phones ready to record it.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's great, man. It's going to be great. It's like a Flaming Lips concert or something. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, you guys. You take care. Thanks so much. We'll see you in a few days.
Okay. Love you.
Okay. Bye-bye. See you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, more Deering and Down there. You'll be able to hear them at New Year's Eve dance party and have a great time there. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be talking to folks from the Capital City Basketball Classic. Bob Casperson's here. Also, the Eagle Crest Ski Report. So Jeff McLeod will be reporting to us about what's happening up Eagle Crest, the conditions, and all the special things happening for the holidays. In just a minute, Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 26th of December, 2012. It's the first day of Kwanzaa, an African-American and Pan-African cultural holiday that was first celebrated in 1966. The name comes from a Swahili phrase meaning first fruits, a cultural holiday rather than religious, so that people of all faiths can come together and celebrate. It's the birthday of the columnist Doris Lilly, born South Pasadena, California, 1926, wrote society columns for the New York Post and the New York Daily Mirror, admitted that the people she wrote about were shallow, but she said they're pleasant and they smell good and they eat well and drink good wines and that's all right. She was the author of the book How to Marry a Millionaire, made into a movie starring Marilyn Monroe. and she was one of the women who inspired Truman Capote's character Holly Golightly in Breakfast at Tiffany's. And she also dated Ronald Reagan for 3 years in between his marriages to Jane Wyman and Nancy Davis. It's the birthday of the poet Thomas Gray, born London, 1716, who gave us the phrase, "Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise," and also gave us the poem that begins, "The curfew tolls the knell of parting day, the lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea, the plowman homeward plods his weary way, and leaves the world to darkness and to me," elegy written in a country churchyard. It's the birthday of Henry Miller, New York City, 1891. Worked in his father's tailor shop, then ran a speakeasy in Greenwich Village, and eventually moved to France, lived there for 9 years. And while he was there, he wrote Tropic of Cancer, which was immediately banned in the U.S. when it came out in 1934, banned for its graphic sexual content. 30 years later, the Supreme Court ruled that it could not be suppressed. He had already sold 2 million copies at that point. It's the birthday of David Sedaris, born Binghamton, New York, 1956, grew up in the suburbs of Raleigh, North Carolina, in a family of eight, suffered from an obsessive-compulsive disorder, juvenile Tourette's syndrome, and a lisp. Landed in Chicago in the mid-80s, where he was discovered in a comedy club by Ira Glass, who put him on the radio, and where Sedaris' stories became very popular, led to national exposure. His book, The Santaland Diaries, was popular, and his collection, Naked, in 1997, in which he wrote about coming out as a gay man. David Sedaris, who divides his time between France and London, doesn't drive, has no cell phone, doesn't do email, and does all of his writing at a typewriter. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, entitled Year's End. Now the seasons are closing their files on each of us, the heavy drawers full of certificates rolling back into the tree trunks, a few old papers flocking away. Someone we loved has fallen from our thoughts, making a little glittering splash like a bicycle pushed by a breeze. Otherwise, not much has happened. We fell in love again, finding that one red feather on the wind. Ted Kooser's poem, Year's End, from his Sure Signs, New and Selected Poems, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Excuse to play Cheech and Chong, and I'll do it. Basketball Jones there. We're going to talk basketball here coming up. Robert Casperson's with us. Thanks so much for coming in, Robert.
Thank you for having us.
Jeff Pusich and Marissa Brakes also, two basketball players for JDHS. Thanks, you guys, for coming in as well.
Thank you for
having us. And the Capital City Classic is coming up. Robert, tell me a little bit about maybe we were just talking a little bit about the history of it. You're saying almost 22, you think 22 years now, maybe? Something like that?
I believe this is the 22nd year. Last year we had a year off. Teams from down south were hit pretty hard by the economy and all dropped out right about the same time, and we didn't have enough opportunity to get new teams. So this year we have Sitka, West Valley, and East Anchorage coming in. Just great opportunity to showcase, you know, the programs at JDHS, and, you know, besides basketball, there's cheer and the dance team and, you know, pep band that does a great job. So
yeah, it's just a great, fun kind of all around school event, and a great way to bring in other schools. Are you getting a little bit more involvement from other schools this year coming around, or what's happening there? And
there's been a lot of interest. One of the things we noticed when we didn't have it last year is how many teams had heard about it and wanted to be in it and things like that. Especially coming back this year, we had a good group of teams that, you know, were on the list to try to come in. We also heard from a lot of community members that were disappointed that we didn't have it last year, and we're really excited that it's back for this year.
Yeah, so that's true. I think it is something that annually people look forward to, especially there's such a huge basketball fan base here throughout Southeast and even throughout Alaska, but in Juneau, definitely, it's pretty rabid.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you mentioned Southeast, so that's one of the reasons why we're excited to have a team like Sitka in, you know, to have a little region 5 team here, and then bringing in from Fairbanks, West Valley, and then East Anchorage, who's supposed to be very tough. So the state is well represented at this tournament.
Marissa, have you played in the Capital City Classic before? What year are you?
I'm a senior this year. I played my sophomore year,
right,
and yeah, with my sister and stuff.
Cool. Is there a team that's out there that's coming to the Classic that you guys are particularly like going, oh, that's going to be a big game?
Playing Anchorage Christian School, because we played them at team camp last year and we beat them the first game. Then the second game, they barely beat us, so we're really excited.
The rubber
to
match.
Play them again. Yeah.
The rubber match coming up, man. All right. So that's the challenge has been laid down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're really excited to play them.
Do you feel like since that time that your team has improved?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. We just had started off. We had lost pretty much our whole team when we had first played them, and so now we're a lot more developed and more experienced now.
Are there players happening on the girls' team that you feel like are kind of surprise players that are stepping up and really great players this year?
Yeah, definitely Kimberly Kelly. She's definitely stepped up this year. Last year it was her first year on varsity as a sophomore, and this year she's a junior, and she's a lot more developed and experienced this year. And so she's been stepping up a lot. She's a starter now, and she's doing really good.
And what position is she?
She's a wing. She's a shooter.
Yeah, okay, shooter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, all right. Good, you got to have those.
Yeah.
The people who aren't afraid to shoot, that's what they want to do. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And tell me, Jeff, a little bit about what team are you guys looking forward to?
Definitely East Anchorage. We also saw them this summer at team camp. They're a tough team. They run the floor a lot, and they got us at team camp, so we're looking to get back at them and just show the state what we have.
Do they have a horse or something? Or, I mean, is there a couple of guys on their team in particular that are really tough?
They got a couple of good guards. They're younger, but they know how to play, and they're under control, so we just got to be able to hang with them.
That's a big part of it, right? I mean, you know, just kind of playing under control, playing the game that you know you're coached to play, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Taking advantage, you know, and stepping it up tempo and stuff when you need to, but then maintaining control. Yeah, big
exactly,
part of it.
Yeah.
How about your team? You feel like there's been improvements happening since the beginning of the year?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We have a lot of young guys that are stepping into roles and just people with not as much as experience as teams in the past, so we're just learning, taking it step by step, but the team is definitely getting more comfortable out on the floor, that's
cool.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, Robert, give us a little overview of the two teams, how you feel they're doing so far this year, where you are and, you know, where compared to where you want to be, that sort of thing.
Well, in regards to the boys' varsity, we know this is going to be a learning year, and we have a very difficult schedule that's going to provide us ample opportunities to learn.
Keep that speech going, right? This is a learning experience, guys.
The guys are working very hard. And I'm seeing the improvement day to day. And, you know, every now and then we'll slide from one practice to the next. But, you know, they're willing to work at it. And I think they understand what we're trying to do. You know, our first two games against West Anchorage were a real eye-opener to a lot of guys, as Jeffrey mentioned. You know, new guys stepping into new roles. Guys who had either come from the C or the JV teams last year and have never seen the varsity floor, you know, and
wow, yeah,
a couple guys started in that situation. So, there's going to be a steep learning curve, but I'm encouraged by what I see in the practices. You know, the guys are competing. They're getting along with each other. They're willing to work at it, and I think that's going to make a big difference.
What's the style of play that you think characterizes your team and what you want them to be doing?
Well, what we want to do is be able to put pressure on a team for a full, 32 minutes and try to control the tempo with our defense and create opportunities with our defense. We need to continue to work harder on setting better screens to get each other open and knocking down our open shots when we get them. So, and that comes with comfort, being on the floor and understanding when they're going to be open and expecting to knock it down, and that's coming with our experience.
But it's interesting you mentioned defense first. I mean, that's an interesting, if that's a philosophical statement right there.
Yeah. It wasn't a mistake.
That's right.
It's by design. We have to be able to defend if we're going to be any good this year. So.
And how about the girls' team?
You know, I haven't seen them play live.
You tell me, how do you think your style of play, how would you characterize it, the girls' team?
Definitely what we're focusing on this year. Last year, we started off not really, we were trying to really build our offense. And this year, we really, really are working on our defense, too, to put pressure on the ball. So it makes trying to work hard on defense so we can take a break on offense.
Do you think you're strong offensively, like a strong offensive team?
Yeah, we're definitely more stronger this year offensively, so we're really working on our defense and pressuring the ball, and hopefully that'll bring us a couple wins.
That's tough, though. I mean, stepping up the defensive pressure, it sounds great when the coach says it, but it's physically tough to do, right?
Yeah,
if you really are expending a lot of energy playing defense, you got to turn around and then make a shot. It's all of a sudden your legs are rubber.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. I'm not trying to discourage them. You understand, over your coach, but
that's okay.
This is the reality.
For sure. That's why we run our sprints. And
that's
why
right.
We work hard defensively, and full court drills, and you try to create situations in the practice that are going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
Games are supposed to be easy in comparison to your practices. And so far, we're trying to make it into a war and a battle every day, guys competing, working hard to get better. And so hopefully when they get out there in a game situation, it's not a surprise. It's not a shock. It should feel a little easier to them because their bodies are ready for that.
Yeah, right. It's a short blast compared to practices. Yeah. And is there a way of infusing – to me, playing as bad as I play basketball, I love playing defense. That's my favorite kind of part of the game, is playing defense. You get into that challenge mode. You get into that whole thing of not wanting to take it. If someone scores on you, you hold a grudge against them, all that stuff. Is that stuff you try to infuse in your players as well?
Well, what do you think, Jeffrey?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, if you can't stop the other team from scoring, then you're not going to have a chance to win. So coach is always emphasizing defense and just really wants our players to be intense and, take every possession personally.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, every possession, both offensively and defensively, taking it personally. That's right. Hold a grudge.
Yeah. Well, we want to be aggressive on both sides of the ball, and part of that aggressiveness is, trying to stop your guy from scoring, and then, as the individual, trying to keep your man in front of you, and then team defensive-wise, making sure, just trying to stop the other team from scoring.
Now, tell me, the one thing that's interesting to me about what's coming up, you got the Capital City Classic coming up. It's starting Thursday. It goes through Saturday.
Yeah. A
lot of games in a very short amount of time. How do you sort of coach around that? I'm sure injuries become a concern. Fatigue obviously becomes a concern.
Sure. One of the things that this really helps us do is region tournaments and state tournaments are usually three-game shots. And so this kind of gets us into that pattern. We try to schedule tournaments. After this, we end up going to Kodiak for a three-game tournament, and then mid-January we have the Alaska Prep Shootout, which ends up being a four-game stint for us because we picked up a game on the front end of it. So you focus on one opponent at a time, and we're focusing and preparing for Sitka, but we also have to do some homework on West Valley and East, and with those two teams playing each other first, it gives us a chance to observe and see what maybe they're doing differently now than what we've heard about in their previous games, and just try to prepare for that. But it really is a one-day shot. You work on some stuff and shoot around and everything that's going to happen game day and try to prepare in that way. And one of the things I'm really proud of this group is our first game of the year, we played West Anchorage and lost one by 37. And then we made some adjustments in an hour-long shoot-around on Saturday morning and turned around and essentially outside of our first quarter – We lost the second quarter by 1 point. We lost the third quarter by 1 point. And then we lost the fourth quarter by 5. So
we stuck with them.
Despite that 10-point spot we gave them in the first quarter, it was a pretty close game. So making those adjustments, seeing the guys be able to do that has been very encouraging.
And so tell me a little bit about the format and what's happening with the tournament itself.
Right. So this is a round-robin tournament where each team – you know, not your traditional bracketed tournament where you move through a bracket, but we're going to play each other. Every team is guaranteed 3 games. We determine a champion based on win-loss. If you go undefeated, you're going to go home with some hardware. Outside of that, there's head-to-head and, you know, other tiebreakers that get thrown in there to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another fun thing with it, too, though, is there's the visiting teams get a tour of Juneau as part of this. Princess Cruises is sponsoring. They're a primary sponsor, and they help with transportation for the teams, and they, you know, donate a cruise to the program, and you know, they're doing all this different stuff. So there's a tour of Juneau for the visiting teams. Then there's a shooting contest that the public is more than welcome to come to. It starts 11 o'clock Friday, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, cool. That's what it says here. Yeah. Shooting contest. Yep.
And so that's free throw, 3-point. And then, depending on how many people we have for a dunk contest, you know, and that can be a lot of fun.
Nice. You going to be in that, Jeff?
No, not
no?
me.
No? Oh, man.
We have one or two guys that might be able to get into that.
Marissa? And
then,
okay.
So, and then for the participants only, there's a banquet on Saturday morning, and then there's also a dance that's open to all the students Saturday night. So
are there JDHS either girls or boys that they should watch for the shooting contest or for the other contests out there? There's, you know, some talents we should know about.
Well, sure. One of the things that's really interesting about the free throw contest is every member of the team is expected to participate, and there's been multiple years where a team's manager has come through and won it because the format is it's all one big line, and you make it, you get back in the end of the line. If you miss it, you go sit down. So in reality, all you got to do is probably hit 5 or 6 in a row, and you can end up having a chance at winning. So,
all right, yeah.
So that's a lot of fun.
That's cool. All right. Well, it's happening starting tomorrow. It's the Capital City Classic. Back once after just a small hiatus, it's back here for the 2012 season. It's going to be, of course, JDHS teams, but also East Anchorage, Anchorage Christian, West Valley, and Sitka. And that's great to see all these teams come to town. Really going to be fun to have it be happening. And thanks so much for coming in and letting us know what's going on.
Yep. Thank you.
Starts tomorrow. Games begin at 1 o'clock starting tomorrow. And there you go. Starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock, head over to JDHS and check out the Capital City Classic Basketball Tournament. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Once again, that's the Capital City Classic. It's starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Anchorage Christian versus East Anchorage. That's the girls' game. And then they'll be heading into Juneau Douglas against Sitka at 5 and at 7. The girls playing at 5 and the boys playing at 7. East Valley versus Anchorage tomorrow. Boys team, two good teams from Anchorage there at 3 o'clock happening at the Capital City Classic. Well, it's time for the Eagle Crest Ski Report. And with me now on the line is Jeffra Clow up at Eagle Crest. How you doing, Jeffra?
Hey, good, Andy. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, it must have been a pretty fun Christmas break so far. Lots of activity up there.
A lot of activity today. Today we were busy. Beautiful day on the mountain today. Cold, but boy, you bundle up. It's just like winter up here because it is winter.
You wouldn't know it. You'd think it's winter.
You wouldn't know it. You'd think it's winter. It's so unlike sometimes December and Juneau. But yeah. It's an amazing day, and we had lots of folks up here today skiing and riding, and the conditions are really very good. We haven't had any new snow for a while, but thankfully we do have enough snow, and things are looking pretty good around the mountain.
So how would you characterize conditions as a skier? How would you describe it?
Things are firm and fast, but the groomers have been doing an amazing job giving us some corduroy. So very turnable skiing, just excellent, good fun, both on the groomed and off the groomed. You know, we do have enough snow. It's still soft. It's not like hard-packed, firm conditions.
Right.
You still have a really good time. And
the wind has been dying down.
The wind's been dying down, so as long as you bundle up. To me, though, you just go outside. It's crisp. It's clear. It's sunny.
It is gorgeous. I mean, without a doubt, it is absolutely gorgeous right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get off the ptarmigan chair, and if you hit it just right, you've got sun in your eyes. And this time of year, there's nothing better than that.
Now, the forecast for tomorrow is snow, as I'm sure you're already aware.
It is. So we are looking forward to it. There was a buzz around here going, oh, we better get out for our last sunny day for a while because things are going to turn around. And just a little bit of snow is going to be great. But we're looking at probably, you know, 1 to 3 inches tonight in the forecast. So
yeah,
we're hopeful.
Right. And then I'm just looking at the forecast right now, too. Down here at sea level, there's rain and snow likely, but the highs are going to be in the mid-30s. So that's all going to be snow up where you guys are.
Oh, yeah, it will be. And so it will be back to a winter wonderland.
Yeah,
with
<it's>
powder.
So tell me about some of the activities that have been happening up there during the holiday break and what's coming up.
Well, we've got our holiday camps going on now. Snow sports school lessons have really been hopping. We have quite a few visitors into town today and tomorrow, so
well,
we're encouraging
one of
folks.
The visitors came on reindeer.
Oh, of course.
That's exciting.
Santa Claus came on Monday night, and we had about 50 kids that were lined up waiting to see him, and he brought gifts for all the good little boys and girls, and that was great fun.
What about the naughty boys and girls?
The naughty boys and girls didn't come to the mountain.
Well,
it was all good boys and girls.
It was only the good. I see. All right.
Yeah, but we had a torchlight parade that was absolutely fabulous. Almost a full moon, clear skies, and that torchlight parade on sourdough. It was spectacular.
That's cool. So what's happening coming up in the next week or so?
We're open daily through Monday, January 7th. Next week, our holiday camps start on January 2nd and run for 3 days. We still have room in those camps. And, of course, we've got some amazing skiing and riding. The snow bus is running daily, and you can find that snow bus schedule at skijuneau.com. And, you know, there's no better place to spend the holidays and the winter break than up at Eagle Crest.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So, once again, the conditions right now are kind of fast, not exactly hard-packed, but a little bit firmer. And but that's going to probably change starting tomorrow as we're going to see some snow coming in. And the snow and rain down here at sea level is in the forecast for the next foreseeable future here through New Year's Day is what I'm looking at and beyond. So that's all going to be snow up at Eagle Crest. So those conditions are going to start being freshies.
Oh, yeah, we're beginning because I just know there's some powder on the horizon.
Powder on the horizon. Well, there's no better place to be than Eagle Crest when there's powder on the horizon. That sounds like a great place to be.
That just makes it even more extra special.
Yes, it's a great way to ring in the new year.
Exactly.
Well, Jeffra, thanks so much. That's the Eagle Crest Ski Report. Looking for some fresh snow coming in and some great conditions regardless right now.
Yep, some great conditions, and we encourage everyone to go to skijuneau.com to find all the information on Eagle Crest.
Great. Jeffra Clow calling in from Eagle Crest. Thanks again.
Thanks, Andy. Bye now.
Broadcast support comes from McDonald's of Juneau, now serving holiday treats like eggnog shake, holiday pie, mint McFlurry, peppermint mocha, and hot chocolate. McDonald's is open daily in the valley. Support comes from Alaska Communications, now offering broadband and wireless solutions designed to help small businesses. Because Alaska Communications believes that small businesses deserve to have the same tools as big businesses. AlaskaCommunications.com.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators, the Valley and Auk Bay area. Tune in to K276 AF 103.1 in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872. And KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. KXLL and The Hangar present the second annual New Year's Eve Block Party on the Wharf, where we block off the wharf for the champagne party of the year. In the ballroom, all the way from Memphis, Deering, and down. I'll never quit. And in the hangar, our hometown heroes.
Enough of that. Back to the beat.
File jerks. Music and dancing until bar close. Pizza by the slice at Roma all night long. Balloon drop and complimentary champagne toast at the stroke of midnight. Let's ring in 2013 together. $5 door charge to benefit KXLL. Excellent radio. This is a 21 and over event. The New Year's Eve block party on the wharf. And that's it for Juneau Afternoon for today. I'm Andy Klein. Thanks so much for joining me. I want to thank all my guests from the Wearable Art Coalition there, all the folks there from Wearable Art, including the artists Donna Powell and Laura Maiko, and Kari Groovin from over there at the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. Once again, you can find out more information about becoming one of the wearable artists by going online at jahc.org. The application deadline is January 7th. You still got plenty of time. The New Year's Eve block party starring Deering and Down and the File Jerks. And thanks to Lana Deering and Reverend Neil Down for calling us from Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be great to see them back up here. And we are going to see you all at the block party at the Wharf New Year's Eve. Robert Kasperson, and thanks also to Jeff Pusich and Marissa Brakes, JDHS basketball players and coach. And once again, that's the Capital City Classic Basketball Tournament starting tomorrow. First games start tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the JDHS main gym. And thanks to Jeff Reclow from Eagle Crest. Sounds like great conditions have been up there right now, and it's going to get better as snow is in the forecast. And once again, that's snow hitting us here starting possibly tonight. Chance of snow tonight, and then once again, chance of snow in the morning Thursday. Then definitely calling for snow accumulation 1 to 3 inches Thursday afternoon. Highs just around freezing. Snow and rain in the forecast for Thursday night with snow accumulation 2 to 4 inches. Total snow accumulation for the next couple of days is 3 to 7 inches. Snow and rain is likely for Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night as well, and on into Sunday and then New Year's Day. Rain and snow is in the forecast with highs right above freezing and lows right below freezing. Thanks again for listening to Juneau Afternoon. We're going to get to headlines from NPR next.